I was born bold.
Summer Breakfast. Summer Breakfast on SEN, Wednesday the 6th of January. Nick Del Santo and Jack Heverin. Developing story that we're keeping across this morning around the Cleveland Browns. Del, their head coach Kevin Stefanski has tested positive for COVID-19. Special teams coordinator Mike Prefer is going to serve as the acting head coach. Cleveland make playoffs for the first time since 2002.
And just the fourth time in the club's history.
And they're going to do it without their coach, without potentially five players and two assistant coaches.
It's fair to say they're up against it. With a handful of injuries as well that happened early in the season, including Odell Beckham Jr.
Your New Year's resolution still to come.
Yes.
Three teams at random. We'll get to those very shortly. And questions without notice. That's all still to come in the last hour. 1-300-736-736 on the phone to be with us. 0433-98-11-16 on the text. We are here with thanks to Blunston Boots. Go back to work like a boss by Blunstons for a chance to win $150,000. We're talking about the Browns and the challenges that COVID is thrown up and continuing to throw up. Well, Jeremy Laliga and the NBL need no reminder about the challenges that COVID is throwing up to them. And Jeremy joins us once again with some changes to the way that the fixture is going to look for the start of this NBL season. Jeremy, welcome back.
Thanks very much for having me. And yeah, you're certainly right. It's a season like no other, isn't it? And we're not alone, but it's certainly throwing its share of curveballs our way as well.
Now, last time you were here, you're in the studio with Coons and I, and I asked you how many drafts of the fixture you had at that stage. What number are you up to now, 2 weeks on?
Yeah, look, we've gone through at least another dozen, I would say, as we continue to navigate these border closures and travel restrictions. And look, we knew we were going to have to be flexible, ideally not this close to the beginning of the season, but there you have it. We've managed to come up with a recut version of the schedule. We'll see the season opener pushed back by a few days, but that's the way we're going to have to behave this season, I think.
How many contingencies are there, and how's the communication been with all clubs to ultimately get this season done, however it may look, Jeremy?
We don't really have a set number of contingencies, Nick, just because of the fact that the decisions are essentially made to react to decisions being made by state governments and medical officials around the country. And their behaviour has changed a little bit over the last few weeks and months. And, you know, you just think you've got the behaviour of one particular state nailed in terms of how they typically respond to an outbreak, and then that changes and you have to sort of remodel. So what we've discovered is you can't have fixed contingencies in place. You have to respond once the circumstances that you've got are known to you. In terms of communication with players and teams, look, they've been absolutely wonderful trying to accommodate, you know, in some instances, more home games closer together than they would have preferred. In other instances, having to forego home games for the time being until we can return to their cities. It's not been easy for anyone, but they've all been fantastic.
So one of the first steps that you had to take, Jeremy, was the Phoenix and the Breakers, getting them to Tasmania, keeping Melbourne in Cairns after their New Year's Eve game as well. So what does that just help us as sports fans try and understand, I guess, what is that information that you're being provided? Are you kind of trying to be a week ahead of the curve with these sorts of things? What goes into making those types of decisions?
Yeah, well, I guess immediately prior to those relocations, we also had the Hawks and the Kings needing to be relocated from Wollongong and from Sydney down to Albury. And that was probably one that was 24, 40 hours too late, or later than we ideally would have liked to have moved. And with the benefit of hindsight, we probably should have got them out of the state sooner. No one really wanted to make that decision right on the cusp of Christmas. And we thought we probably had another 24 hours to move there. So we certainly didn't take the same risk with Melbourne, South East Melbourne and New Zealand. We moved them as quickly as we possibly could. As you said, two of them down to Tasmania, Melbourne United remaining up in Cairns where they were playing a pre-season game against the Taipans. But yeah, you try and act ahead of the curve, but the curve is just changing so quickly all the time at the moment. And it's now not so simple as states and cities. You've now got zones within states and cities as well. So it's further complicating the issue. And those zones, as we saw in New South Wales, were changing by the day.
What about from an administrational point of view, Jeremy? Have you had to relocate and take your staff with you so you can get access to clubs and players face-to-face?
Yeah, look, we've actually had our head office largely closed to staff since April of last year, and everyone's working remotely as best they can. But we've had some staff relocate around the country as well, so that we do have some flexibility in who can be where at any point in time. So you can't, it's a matter of not having all your eggs in one basket at the moment and making sure that you can deploy resources to different cities as required. So yeah, we've had people in Albury and Hobart and up in Queensland and Cairns, and we're just going to have to keep moving people around as the need dictates.
Jeremy Leliga, the Commissioner of the NBL, joining us on Summer Breakfast. So it kicks off with a double header, Jeremy. You've obviously had to move the schedule and the fixture as best as you possibly could. What does the NBL Cup look like? Last time you were here, you spoke about that announcement. You dropped that announcement on our show, and from there it's garnered a lot of interest. Is the plan for that still to go ahead as initially thought?
Absolutely. The NBL Cup, for the time being, remains unchanged, and certainly all of our thinking at the moment is structured around having teams play around the country for the first five rounds, and then coming together in Melbourne after those five rounds to play the 36 games in Melbourne as part of the NBL Cup. And it's shaping up to be a fantastic competition. We have had to, as I said, change the start date. So we're not kicking off on the 10th anymore. We're kicking off on the 15th of January now, as you mentioned, a doubleheader with Illawarra or the Hawks travelling up to play the Taipans in Cairns for the first game of that night. And then Melbourne United over in Perth, which will be a huge one as well. Two really big games to kick off the season. Unfortunately, we've had to postpone the throwdown, the Melbourne United versus South East Melbourne throwdown that was going to be in Bendigo this Sunday. We're postponing that until the 31st of January. It will still be the first throwdown of the season, and it will be the first of three games to be held in Bendigo in successive weekends. So it's a great opportunity for regional Victoria as well to experience some NBL basketball.
Just lastly, the pressures from a financial point of view, when you're doing things like that, and other codes have learnt this over last year as well, that when you're taking teams away from their own hubs and their own habitats and moving them into separate hubs, is that something that's just going to be a challenge you'll have to monitor across the season?
Yeah, it is, and we have sort of, I guess, a fighting fund put aside to allow for it, but it's certainly a very painful exercise from a financial point of view. And the reality that we have to deal with that most other sports leagues don't is that we need to take these teams to places where they're going to attract crowds to venues as well. We need to be playing them in front of live audiences. In the case of some of the other, I guess, bigger sporting leagues like the AFL, NRL, they can rely on media rights fees and play in front of empty stadiums, and they're still better off than if they didn't play. That's not the case for us. We need to get our teams to venues where they can play in front of their fantastic live audiences.
Well, there's a lot going on, no doubt about that. Last time you were here, you spoke about some of the challenges. You got thrown a whole different set of challenges in the last couple of weeks as well. So well done to you and the team for getting the fixture back out there again. And fingers crossed we can launch next Friday with a great way to start the season.
Good on you guys. Really appreciate the support. And yeah, looking forward to updating you after that first round of games. It's going to be a big one.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. Jeremy Leliga joining us, the Commissioner of the NBL, Dale. We touched on it earlier in the show that, you know, Twitter and sort of social media commentary around when's the season starting and when are we going to hear and all that sort of stuff. Hopefully that was just a bit of a snapshot into how difficult the whole thing is.
It's also a calm and calculated way to assess the risk and to work out what is best ultimately, and similar to previous codes last year, to get to the final game. I know there's things that are going to get thrown up this year, as Jeremy's just touched on, that you can't prep for. So as we've always said, you've got to be agile. They're assessing it day by day. And I like the approach. I don't think there is any other reasonable way to go about it.
No. And you can't, at the end of the day, like, there'll be some people most of the games are going to be played in Cairns or Queensland, Adelaide or Perth. There'll be some people that say, well, what about the home court advantage? Whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you just got to make best of the situation.
Exactly. Most teams are in a similar situation. It's not ideal. And we saw in other codes, once again, that interstate teams were winning finals. So you put that all into calculation, you just hope that it all works out. That's fantastic that basketball in Bendigo is getting another opportunity.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. Yeah.
I spent a lot of time there as a junior. I don't know if it's still called the Schwepp Centre. It was when I was a kid, make the trip across town to the Schwepp Centre. But they love their basketball in regional Victoria and in particular Bendigo. That is exciting.
It's an awesome stadium.
Yeah, it's a great
setup.
New
Bendigo Stadium. I did an Australia game there a couple of years ago against the powerhouse of Kazakhstan. And Yeah.
Is it my statue still out the front there, or have they taken that down?
I think Brendan Joyce knocked that one over. And actually, he's Ballarat. Sorry, what am I talking about? 0433 98 11 16 to join us at Summer Breakfast and Dal's New Year's Resolutions up next.